full of perplexity and toil. Or, if you do this, you will, in the case of two equally good men, care more for him who is neat and well-groomed than for him who is dirty and unkempt. You would next go so far as to care more for a good man who is sound in all his limbs and without blemish than for one who is weak or purblind. And gradually your fastidiousness would reach such a point that, of two equally just and prudent men, you would choose him who has long, curling hair. Whenever the virtue in each one is equal, the inequality in their other attributes is not apparent. For all other things are not parts, but merely accessories. Would any man judge his children so unfairly as to care more for a healthy son than for one who was sickly, or for a tall child of unusual stature, more than for one who was short or of middling height? Wild beasts show no favoritism among their offspring. They lie down in order to suckle all alike. Birds make fair distribution of their food. Ulysses hastens back to the rocks of his Ithaca as eagerly as Agamemnon speeds to the kingly walls of Mycenae. For no man loves his native land because it is great. He loves it because it is his own. And what is the purpose of all this? That you may know that virtue regards all her works in the same light, as if they were her children, showing equal kindness to all, and still deeper kindness to those which encounter hardships. For even parents lean with more affection towards those of their offspring for whom they feel pity. Virtue, too, does not necessarily love more deeply those of her works whom she beholds in trouble and under heavy burdens, but, like good parents, she gives them more of her fostering care. Why is no good greater than any other good? It is because nothing can be more fitting than that which is fitting, and nothing more level than that which is level. You cannot say that one thing is more equal to a given object than another thing. Hence, also, nothing is more honorable than that which is honorable. Accordingly, if all the virtues are by nature equal, the three varieties of goods are equal. This is what I mean. There is an equality between feeling joy with self-control and suffering pain with self-control. The joy in the one case does not surpass in the other the steadfastness of soul that gulps down the groan when the victim is in the clutches of the torturer. Goods of the first kind are desirable, while those of the second are worthy of admiration. And in each case, they are none the less equal, because whatever inconvenience attaches to the latter is compensated by the qualities of the good, which is so much greater. Any man who believes them to be unequal is turning away from the virtues themselves and is surveying mere externals. True goods have the same weight and the same width. The spurious sort contain much emptiness. Hence, when they are weighed in the balance, they are found wanting, although they look imposing and grand to the gaze. Yes, my dear Lucilius, the good which true reason approves is solid and everlasting. It strengthens the spirit and exalts it, so that it will always be on the heights. But those things which are thoughtlessly praised, and are goods in the opinion of the mob, merely puff us up with empty joy. And again, those things which are feared as if they were evils merely inspire trepidation in men's minds, for the mind is disturbed by the semblance of danger, just as animals are disturbed. Hence, it is without reason that both these things distract and sting the spirit. The one is not worthy of joy, nor the other of fear. It is reason alone that is unchangeable, that holds fast to its decisions. For reason is not a slave to the senses, but a ruler over them. Reason is equal to reason, as one straight line to another. Therefore, virtue also is equal to virtue. virtue is nothing else than right reason. All virtues are reasons. Reasons are reasons if they are right reasons. If they are right, they are also equal. As reason is, so also are actions. Therefore, all actions are equal. For, since they resemble reason, they also resemble each other. Moreover, I hold that actions are equal to each other, insofar as they are honorable and right actions. There will be, of course, great differences according as the material varies, as it becomes now broader and now narrower, now glorious and now base, now manifold in scope and now limited. However, that which is best in all these cases is equal. They are all honorable. In the same way, all good men, insofar as they are good, are equal. There are, indeed, differences of age. One is older, another younger. Of body, one is comely, another is ugly. Of fortune, this man is rich, that man poor. This one is influential, powerful, and well known to cities and peoples. That man is unknown to most and is obscure. But all, in respect of that wherein they are good, are equal. The senses do not decide upon things good and evil. They do not know what is useful and what is not useful. They cannot record their opinion unless they are brought face to face with a fact. They can neither see into the future nor recollect the past, and they do not know what results from what. But it is from such knowledge that a sequence and succession of actions is woven, and a unity of life is created, a unity which will proceed in a straight course.